Let's welcome Brother Doug and Sister Angie Pittman, our missionaries to Europe, but a lot of time spent in Ukraine, and you're going to hear a lot about that today.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, it is a joy for us to be back in Iowa and to be with you again. And this is my wife's first time to come experience the church here and the atmosphere. And we've had such a good time. Pastor Dwayne and Cindy last night, you know, we forgot it almost. We're talking pretty late. We forgot we'd lose an hour, you know. But here you are, Time Change Sunday, all right? And it's good to be with you today. And we pray and hope what we share with you will lift your spirits and that we're all changed somehow. We should, you know what, we should expect something to happen. Why is that? Because Jesus is here. And wherever Jesus is miracle territory. You look through the Gospels, and everywhere He went, something happened. Amen. And something happened. And it happened because the compassion of Jesus is always flowing. The mercy of God is always flowing. And so, but I really appreciate the Church of the Promise and your value and your love for the presence of God. And I told him earlier today, I was listening to Reinhard Bonnke, and he was telling about a time he was at a very, very large church and during the worship time, and he was sitting on the stage with the pastor, you know, and he looked down and smoke was covering his shoes. He couldn't see his feet on the platform. He looked around at smoke everywhere. He leaned over to the pastor and he says, "What's this?" The pastor leaned back over to him and said, "Hey, we're creating atmosphere." So Reinhard Bonnke comes to the podium, doesn't say a word. And he says, atmosphere is like air in a jar when the Holy Spirit is a hurricane. Amen? And I think you people understand today that the Holy Spirit is like a hurricane. Not stale, stagnant air, you know? And I tell you what, I just want to ride on the wind of the Spirit today. I want to live in the flow of the jet stream of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. And why? Because we can. Because we can. And you can have as much as you want. God's not holding back on anybody. If there's any boundaries erected, it's boundaries we've erected in our own mind of what we think is possible. But if we could let those boundaries go today and say, God with you, all things are possible, you know. And so we want to thank you for your faithful encouragement and support to us as we go into the nations and we minister. And I want to give a testimony today. And I could phrase it like this, because of you, look what God did. And it's, I just want to share that with you. Then we're going to bring a word. But anyway, be in prayer with us as we go to various nations. And let me tell you something. God has us ministering to people a lot of times that's beyond our human ability to comfort them, our human ability to change their situation. Hey, have you ever prayed for somebody and you're praying and you're trying to be faithful and bold, but in the back of your mind say, man, this is a crazy situation. I'm glad I'm not them. This is, you know, face things that's beyond our ability. But what we're doing is seeing what God can do beyond what we can do. And what we're seeing is God do a mighty work. And so go to the next slide. Some of these things I'm going to go through really quickly. You could take your phone on your camera and you can scan that code. That'll take you to our website where we have latest news. You can hear testimonies, pictures, reports of what's happening in the Ukraine especially. We work throughout Europe, but literally have been on the ground the last 4 years during the full invasion of Russia into Ukraine, and we don't have to watch the news to know what's going on. We've been there. We've rubbed shoulders with people, and we've seen God do mighty works and things that you really don't hear on the news anymore, but God is doing some wonderful things. And so I want you to see some faces and hear about some places that you as a church have directly impacted through your giving. And I know when you write that check and you bring that offering, you say that prayer, the world just seems like a far away place. But today I'm hoping to bring it home to you a little bit where you can have more of a tangible grip on the fruit that you as a church are bearing in the nations and how God's using you. So go to the next slide. I was just in Czech Republic. You know, in East Germany, Czech Republic, highest concentration of atheists in the world. 0.01% believe that the Bible is authentic and Jesus is the Son of God. That's 0.01%. No aspirations of worship to an almighty God at all. In Asia, they have temples or burning incense to somebody. But in this area of Europe, they don't even bother whether to even discuss if there's a God. They would see you as having a form of mental illness for believing in an invisible God. They would say the weakness of your mind, you've invented this utopia and this being because you can't handle life, you can't handle death. But we're educated. We know there's nothing beyond all this. Why would we even discuss whether there's a God? So when I walked into this church in Ustinad Labem, I was blown away because it was packed. Okay, I've been going there year after year, encouraging this pastor with small numbers, but amen, God's doing a breakthrough work, and I was able to preach there. Go to the next slide, and I'm here with Pastor Stefan and his wife Annie, and after Pastor Stefan, he speaks really good English, he's my translator, but after the message, he left the platform, and I had a line of people wanting special prayer. And I love the fact that you folks here value the laying on of hands. How many believe something happens when you lay on hands? Because this is why something happens. Jesus said that the Father sent me, so send I you. In the same manner Jesus was sent to go about doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil, He's sending out His followers in the same authority, in the same power. And guess what? Jesus spoke to things and Jesus touched people. So when you touch someone, it's like Jesus reaching out and touching them. And when you speak to a mountain, you speak to a situation, it's as Jesus is speaking. You are in tandem union with Christ, His very body. Amen? So we can expect things to happen. Well, I couldn't speak these people's language, and they telling me, and I'm just praying some general prayers. And finally, one lady spoke up. This lady was talking to me, and I'm looking at her like I can understand her, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to pray a general prayer. She said she wants you to pray for her health. That's the only person out of all the people this lady spoke up and said she wants you to pray for her health. So I prayed in general. Let me tell you something. You know what? God can do something when you have no goosebumps. God can do something when you don't feel some kind of emotional surge to step out. I didn't even know what I was praying for. I'm just praying a general prayer for her health. Well, I'm with them on Wednesday because I'm going to Liberec, the next city, the next day. And Annie, she goes, she says to me, hey, have you heard the good news? I said, no, I hadn't heard any good news, you know. She said, well, you prayed for a lady on Sunday and she's full of tumors. Well, she goes for a scan, an appointment on Tuesday, and they scan her and discover every single tumor's disappeared. Amen. I said, that's some good news right there. That's a life change. When someone gets healed like that, that's life changing. And God can do something like that right here, right now. I know you believe all this. But anyway, we're ministering in 11 different nations throughout Europe, but we've really had a focus on Ukraine. Desperate, brokenhearted people that are living through what people should not have to live through. Okay, so go to the next slide. And so we've been on the ground. And I've got to admit, I'm not looking happy right there because I was having a bad day as a missionary. I'm standing here in the streets of Bucha, where the initial invasion came through Belarus from the north. And at 5 o'clock that morning of the invasion, rockets just pummeled the city. People were in their beds asleep, little children just waiting to wake up to go to school that day, and the rockets came. And let me tell you, if I had 1,000 pictures, they would all look like this. And I was standing there, taking in what's happened, literally standing in the street when the city was liberated by Ukrainian soldiers. They literally had to drive around citizens that were just laying in the streets, just mowed down by machine guns. Entire families laying on the side of the road with their pet carriers and with their suitcases. Their families just mowed down by machine guns. People in their cars just wanting to leave. Tanks would open fire. They had all the cars that were destroyed all piled up out of the way. And I was there and I was observing things. How many know when you look in the natural realm, it affects you emotionally, okay? And hearing these stories, well, I was a bad missionary that day because a feeling started to arise in me. And at first it felt pretty good, but it was very evil. But it was beyond frustration. It was beyond anger. It was a hatred, an evil hatred. Don't look at me that way. I know how you are with that road rage out there on the highway, you know, that rage. And this hatred. I wanted to go back to Texas and get all my guns. Any gun owners here? And get all my bullets, and I'm going to go sneak them back in the country. And I'm going to get my cell phone. I'm going to say, I don't know who you are, but I'm going to find you. And I'm going to preach to you. No, I wasn't thinking about preaching to them. My brain envisioned me as Rambo. I wanted to Rambo some people. You know, I could just see guns blazing. And I got my bandana. And I'm going to show somebody some business. That's not what you do to children in bed. That's not what you do. I wanted to take care of some business, Pastor Dwayne. But I realized, wait a minute. This is so evil. Jesus, you got to help me now. Because I can't be your messenger with this kind of war in my spirit. I can't minister grace and your message and redemption with this kind of hatred in my heart. You know, you got to get the war out of your spirit. If Jesus can save from the cross, Father, forgive him. But anyway, God helped me with that. And from that point on, it's like he opened up the front lines of the war for us to minister to people that are beyond my human ability to help, okay? But we're seeing the grace of God turn hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of lives. I've seen soldiers come out of their trenches 1 mile from the Russian border in the middle of a landmine field, having been pummeled with artillery for 3 days. We're not even supposed to be there. We show up preaching. I told my pastor, I said, just go preach to that hole. A trench in the ground. They were in their safe spot. They were bunkered in. And under the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the conviction of God, Ukrainian soldiers start coming out of those trenches without their weapons. It's like they forgot where they were and what was going on. Russian soldiers could show up any minute. In fact, because they laid out the landmines, they know the pattern. They've gotten a hold of Ukraine uniforms and they're showing up as replacement troops because they speak the same language. They go into the tunnels and they slit the throats of the Ukrainian soldiers. And here we are showing up unannounced. But they come out under conviction of the Holy Spirit. How many know the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God? Okay, don't be ashamed. Satan, he would love to steal your voice. And he wants to make you timid and ashamed of your God. Amen. Don't give in to that. It's the power of God. Our generation needs the full message of the gospel that's being preached at this church. And they're falling on their knees without their weapons. Drones could show up. Artillery could start. Russian soldiers could tell, and they're falling on their knees confessing their sins. That's what God can do and declaring Jesus Christ. And we're laying hands on them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit 1 mile from the Russian border. And it's these moments we find where who would have thought we would ever be here? Who would ever thought? God wants to give you some whoever thought moments. All you got to do is say, yes, God, here I am. I'm your guy. I'm your woman. Here I am. Use me however you want. Just get the glory for me and see what God will do. See where he will take you. See where he directs your footsteps. But I want you to know we were there because we had a church like the Church of the Promise partnering with us. And soldiers that day, 52 soldiers that day received Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. We visited 3 frontline trenches that day. And we weren't even supposed to be there. Amen? go to the next slide. I'm going to hurry through here. We load up a couple of vans, and we drive from one end of Ukraine to the other. It's about almost a 3,500, 4,000 kilometer trip, okay, at $10 a gallon. You know, it's $2,000 just for gas for our outreaches. And so we take food and we bundle it up, and the family packets go to the next slide. And we head on, go to the next, I'll just say next. And we're literally in the front lines. We've had tank battles break out in our outreaches. We've driven through landmine fields. Amen. We've had rockets explode. This past December, a rocket hit Zaporizhia where we were, and I must have jumped a foot off the ground when that thing hit. And then you have the sirens of the first responders. But people remained hearing the gospel. And we're outside, and I'm saying, God, make us invisible to the drones, because a group of people is eye candy to a drone, okay? And so, but God has kept us, and He has guided us, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people have come to Christ, and we're seeing hearts of brokenhearted people healed that you would never think they would be normal again emotionally, okay? Okay, go to the next. That's just the way the neighborhoods look. Next. Ministering to frontline soldiers. Never dreamed we'd have that opportunity. Next. Here I am preaching at a church and just declaring the kingdom of God. And it was such a powerful move of the Spirit that day. Go to the next slide. That this Ukrainian soldier was so moved, and God touched his heart, that he got permission from his unit commander. He drove a long ways to go back home, and he got this Bible, and he found where we were staying. And he wanted to give me this Bible that he had made while in prison years earlier, okay? Just to say thank you. And like I said, many times we write the checks and we say the prayers, and the mission field looks so far away. But what I've got for you today is I brought it with me. This is a Bible that Alexei brought to me. Ukraine is Orthodox in nature, and you can see the ornateness of this Bible. But I wanted to bring it here and let you touch it and let you look at it. This Bible has come from a soldier from the front lines of a war that's going to be in the history books. And I wanted you just to have a chance just to look at it, hold it, and what you're going to find on the inside is an English version of a Gideon Bible. Okay, that found its way into a Ukraine prison. Hey, how many knows God's always at work, even when we don't know He's at work and all this? But I want to just pass this around and let you feel something tangible from the fruit of your labor. This is a one of a kind from the front line of the war in Ukraine. And I just want to bless you just to be able to hold it, and just maybe an usher can help pass it around. But look at the detail. I guess he had plenty of time in prison to make this thing, because it's pretty amazing. But it's just something that brings it a little bit closer home to you. Okay. All right, go to the next slide. I'll let that pass around. It seems like it's always cold when I go. November, December, a lot of times. But I'll be there in April. We usually go spring. And so go to the next slide. Like I say, if I had 1,000 photos, this is what it looks on the front lines. Next. These are people living in these buildings. Hold it right there. Go to the next one. Here we are in Sloviansk. And we could literally see the front lines of the war, okay? And here is like a little coffee kiosk that someone set up. And these military vehicles, they're just like a buzz. And they coming in, scratching. These guys, they're jumping out, and they're getting an espresso. And then they're hopping back in their vehicles and going to where everyone... It was just a hotbed of activity. The thing about it is, Sloviansk is where this war... Go to the next slide. Began... 2014, and we ministered to hundreds of people. And I want you to know, you see the guitar, the lady with a girl with a guitar and the violin. When we come into a city, a village, the front lines, the atmosphere changes. Literally, We start worshiping and the spirit of heaviness begins to lift. People begin to weep. The Holy Spirit begins to move. And we're just like praying, Lord, make us invisible to drones and all. Go to the next slide. This day we minister to hundreds and hundreds. And you know what? You can get involved in missions at any level. We took these little crocheted blankets to little children. An elderly woman in Georgia, she didn't feel like she could do a lot, but she said, I can make some crocheted blankets. And I said, okay. And so I take them there and give them, and these little children just grab and possess their blanket, their own blanket. And I want you to know, you can get involved in missions at any level. And it's such a tangible blessing. Go to the next slide, please. Now, we can't do this on our own. This is a team. There's Pastor Joseph next to me, and then the other folks there are the team that organized this outreach. You have to organize it, because when you're going along the front line of the war, you just can't show up like an ice cream truck, just ding-a-ling-a-ling, hey, we got something good for you. Go around town with a loudspeaker, you know. No, it has to be pre-organized, because every minute you spend on the front line of a war is a minute something bad can happen. You get in. You let God do His work, and I want you to know, I can testify, God can do a quick work. Let's expect God to do quicker works. Because sometimes we're pushing everything to the future. Maybe one day God will heal that person. One day God will turn that heart around. One day, hey, is He not the same yesterday, today, and forever? He's a God of today, all right? And so we see Him do a great work. Well, they begged us to stay. They were so blessed. And like, we normally don't like staying overnight in the front lines, okay? Because unpredictable things happen. But we did anyway. So we're driving, go to the next slide. We're driving into their neighborhood, and this is a picture of their neighbor two doors down from them. And I said, oh, a rocket hit our neighbor's house last week, and it blew out all the windows in our house. We drove up to their place, and it was like a pile of glass from all the windows that had been blown out. And I want you to know that listen, we are there. And if anybody asks you that, you say, you know, does your church have anybody working along the front lines of the war in Ukraine? You say, yeah, we got a guy. We got a couple that's there on the ground working, evangelizing, and ministering. Go to the next slide. These are just more pictures of Sloviansk. Next. That's it. Go to the next. This is the hill where the war began in 2014. I didn't know. It's like God brought us to the epicenter of where it all began, to be redemptive. Amen. To redeem the land. This is where the first bullets, the first blood was shed on this mountain in 2014 between Russian separatists and Ukrainian soldiers. And so right now, I got a notice on my phone. Right now, Russia has about 100,000 men stationed near this place. This is one of the last Ukraine-occupied cities in the region of Donetsk, where we go all the time. I tell people all the time, pray for the children, pray for the church in Ukraine. Okay, go to the next slide. This is just a little pickup truck. It's got a machine gun and optics. What it is, the optics are scanning the sky, and the machine gun begins to automatically fire when it sees drones. Drones have changed everything. And so now they don't need a plane in a certain position or to fire rockets. You got tens of thousands of drone operators now operating handheld drones with ordnances like the size of this microphone that could blow this church away. And it's all AI powered, so if they lock on you, you cannot escape. It's a kamikaze drone. It will chase you down. A man running on a bicycle, a van, a building, doesn't matter. And so please pray with us, because it's as treacherous now as it's ever been since the beginning of the war because of drones. Go to the next slide. This is our team. And feed these guys. We pay for their lodging. We fund these outreaches. But sometimes the team is a little different. It's just whoever's available. But we feed them good. But look, they're volunteering their time. They're risking their lives. And how many know that God is, He forges people together for the purpose of momentum. Okay? And He's forged us together with people all throughout Ukraine that enables us to do what we do. We couldn't do it without the relationships that we have. And we couldn't do it without someone sending us. Okay? So I want to thank you as a church. Go to the next slide. This here This is a pastor. He was very downcast when we arrived. We were at his church, and you notice there's not many seats. What happened? Russian soldiers came in one day. They were worshiping. They stole everything out of the church. All the electronics, the seating. They took everything out. And it's a miracle they did not arrest this pastor, okay? And they didn't destroy the church. Because if you're not Russian Orthodox in Putin's religious mind, anything outside of Russian Orthodoxy is the devil. That's in his religious mind. And so there's been pastors that have died actually being tortured. And like, what does that have to do with it? But he's telling the story and he's really sad. And as they are leaving, okay, he's been able to find some chairs and stuff to replace. As the soldiers are leaving, they grab a five-year-old boy and they chop his right hand off in front of everybody just to terrorize him. See, wherever there's occupation, there are atrocities. And they will do atrocities to shock people, to ruin them emotionally and mentally, and to spread the fear of who's dominating them, who's doing this to them. But what we're doing is when we come in, we see the grace of God be more powerful than the hurt, the damage, the loss, the misery, the hate. And God is healing broken hearts instantaneously as we begin to minister. And as we had some gypsy brothers with us, and they began to play the guitar, and the atmosphere began to change. We began to sing worship, and the atmosphere began to change. Here we are in our host home. All you got to do is give a toy guitar to a gypsy, and he can make some music out of it, I'm telling you. But anyway, here we are in the outreaches, and go to the next. We just seeing God change. These are people you are touching. This is your harvest field. Look in their faces. Because of you, the gospel was presented. Because of you, hearts have been turned to Christ. Because of you, broken hearts that can never be healed psychologically have been supernaturally healed by the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. Because you are a people of action. I wanted to show you these pictures. These are people you are touching. Go to the next slide. More outreaches. You see this woman just began to start the music and people began to weep under the anointing of God. The presence of God is so precious. Never take it for granted. Always make room for the presence of God. Jesus is our present. The Holy Spirit is more ready to heal than we're ready for Him to heal. He's ready to restore. And what we're seeing is the goodness of God being released in a cold, dark place. Amen. Go to the next slide. We're giving food. Now, this picture was taken right before a rocket exploded behind us. I was facing the people, and the first location, the air raid sirens went off, and I could see the elderly ladies, their hands began to shake because we're exposed. We're out in the open, but nothing happened. So we go to a different part of the city, and it was silent. Then all of a sudden, I must have jumped straight up in the air, about a foot in the air. No telling what my facial expression was, but the people stayed there. Go to the next slide, and we kept ministering to them. And I would pray for these elderly men, and they would grab hold of me, and they would hold on and not let go. I mean, there's times where you say, okay, I'm finished with this prayer. I'm going to go to the next prayer, but they would hold on. And look, they're just starving for hope. They live with so much uncertainty. We're literally ministering to a people who may not live through the night. That's the urgency of our missions. And that's the urgency of being directed by God and seeing Him move where we're ministering. Go to the next slide. These are some guides of ours. We had to cancel the last location because the town was being bombarded. They refused to take us forward. And there's times God has saved us, He's rescued us, He's redirected us, and we just have to be totally flexible to the Holy Spirit. Go to the next slide. And just minister to these dear people. The reason we bring food is many times the market's destroyed, the gas stations are destroyed. There's no market like replenishing food, okay? Because there's not a store there. So we bring the food from the outside, and that gathers the people, and that's when we minister to the people. Go to the next slide. Go to the next. Very well received. On the way back, I ministered at a church and did leadership training to about 100 church leaders. Go to the next slide. There they are worshiping. Next slide. These are some of the blankets I brought. This is a battered women children's shelter. You know, they have their social issues even though they're in the middle of a war. We go to drug rehabs, battered women's shelters, and here we are taking these crocheted blankets from an elderly woman in the state of Georgia who got involved at the level she could get involved in. Such a blessing. Go to the next slide. And here we are. This is a drug rehab where the mothers have the children with them. Go to the next. Able to lay hands on the little ones and pray for them and bless them. And finally here, these children are orphans from the city of Mariupol. It's like a Houston, Texas, but it's destroyed. 30,000 children were taken into Russia, and their names were changed so family and friends searching for them would never be able to find them. Such a cruel thing that's happening in society. And I say, God, pray for these children. And so they were at the playground one day. The next day, the rockets come. Now they're orphaned. They've been extracted out of these cities. They've been destroyed into government orphanages in a safe place. And Angie was with me. She was able to go. She's like a magnet to children. They're all gathering around. Go to the next slide. We go to the store there in Ushkarat, and we get like buggies, maybe 10, 12, 15 buggies full of treats and sweets and things kids like. We don't know what they get fed at the orphanage. But we go and we minister to them. And Angie takes blessing bags that have little toys, trinkets, candies, things kids like. We want them to know they're not forgotten and they're not invisible, and Jesus will be a father to them. And they love their pictures taken. But these kids, their lives have been forever changed. Go to the next slide. But God's opened the door, and we can minister freely to them. Every time we go, the government lets us minister however we desire. And go to the next. Oh, they just want a hug. They just want hugs. And go to the next slide. They like to sing for us. The old ones, they try to do a version of Ukrainian rap. It sounds really crazy, but they write it and they sing it to us, and they just want to bless us for coming. Here we are just distributing different things to the kids and seeing Jesus put smiles on children's faces that shouldn't be smiling. But I tell you what, the atmosphere changes when we walk in the room. And why not? We're the carriage that carries the King. We carry the glory of God. Look at this young man. Just the treat of a banana has him all excited. You know, they love juice boxes. They love bananas. You get the feel for what they really love. And so go to the next slide. And I just want you to see who you're touching. This young lady now, she's mom to her three siblings. Their parents were killed in a rocket blast. Go to the next slide. This young lady's taking care of her sister there and a younger brother. Their lives forever changed, but we minister to them. This young man ministering to these kids, I've known him. His name's Stas since 2015, and he's ministering to the kids. But this is what's gold. Go to the next slide here, is to see these little children fold their hands and close their eyes and bow their heads in reverence, receiving Jesus, putting their faith in the Lord Jesus. And this moment happened, church, because you are a people of action. This moment happened because you come alongside us to partner, to send, and we are God's messengers carrying His message. And these kids, they're born again because you decided not to be passive, but to take action. And so this is your harvest. This is your harvest right here. And so thank you very much for sending us. And once again, going in April, every mission is uncertain. Let the locals work it all out, but we have to be flexible. Sometimes we have to change. We have to cancel locations and redirect. But pray for us that more and more souls will come into the kingdom. And I want to say thank you, church. Thank you, church. Because of you, children are falling in love with Jesus. Children are coming to Christ. People who have been brokenhearted are being healed. And those that are lost, soldiers falling on their knees, confessing their sins, declaring Jesus Christ is Lord. It wouldn't have happened if we weren't there. Things happen because you're in a place at a certain time as God's message. And let me tell you, every one of you are God's messengers to your community. All you got to do is say, yes, Lord. Here am I. Let Him direct your steps. Amen? So praise God for the many that have come to Christ. All right. If you can listen quick, I can preach quick. All right? And so you can help me out. But go to the next slide. I want to talk to you about mountains and valleys. And I want to use a very popular scripture. It's a scripture that's used a lot at funerals and memorials, but it's really an everyday scripture. And it's found in Psalm chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and staff comfort me. This was written by a man who knew how to face his giants and slay them and how to go through difficult and dark valleys. You know, our life is full of mountaintops and valleys. The pathway of your destiny, the pathway for what God has for you, is going to take you to some mountaintops. Those are times of refreshing. Those are times of revival. Those are times of intercession and just joy. And all those are mountaintops. Experiences. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Fired up, revived. But then David goes down and he sort of changes the subject. He goes, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now wait a minute, David. I don't want to hear about no shadows, no death, no valley. Let's go back to the mountaintop experience. Let's go back to the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me to lie down in the plush grass of the written word. And He leads me beside. Yeah, I want some of that. I rebuke this valley thing in Jesus' name. I ain't going to have none of that. But let me tell you, you've either been through a valley, you're going through a valley, are you going to go through a valley? Mountains and valley life experiences happen to us all. Happen to us all. But David was a man who knew how to face his giants and walk in triumph victory, but he also knew how to get through a valley. And if we don't understand the valley experiences in our life, they will crush us. They will ruin us. If we don't know what to do, and I want to share with you a secret David had, okay? And so, but the thing about the valleys is, valley experiences, that's where we struggle. Those are disappointing times. Those are times when we've been blindsided and Satan has fashioned weapons against us and he's coming after us with all he's got. You know, Satan hates you and he's always plotting against humanity. You know, a plot is a scheme derived in secret by a person or individuals to do something harmful or illegal. Listen, Satan is always plotting against humanity. He hates the fact that you fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. He hates the fact that you're covered in the blood of Jesus. And just because you're filled with the Spirit and you're saved and you're going to heaven and your name's written in the book of life doesn't mean you won't have struggles in life. And there's some preachers out there saying, well, if you just come to Jesus, it's all going to be okay. And they're lying to you. Because if Jesus had struggles, are we greater than the teacher? If the apostles had struggles, are we greater than the apostles? No.
What you do, though, is you find throughout the Bible a supernatural God intervening on behalf of weak, broken-down humanity, taking us from heartbreak to breakthrough, taking us from life experiences where we've been blindsided. I know what it's like to be blindsided, sucker-punched by the devil, laying on the ground, looking up into heaven, saying, "What just happened here?" See, it's in the valley we ask God all these questions. God, where are you? Do you see me anymore? I don't see you. I don't feel you. Where are your promises? See, that's why we struggle. Why? Because we live in a natural body and we're in this fallen world and Satan is plotting. And even it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It doesn't mean it's not formed. And it doesn't mean it's not against. Some of you know what it's talking about. I know what it's like to have my back against the wall. And what I need is beyond my reach. And I feel like I'm in over my head and I don't know what to do. And I'm saying, God, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. Why is this happening to me? Where are you in this? How could this possibly happen? And I don't know what your situation be, but I'm sure throughout life, you've always had a moment where you're saying, God, where are you? I can't see you. I don't feel you. You feel like you're on the other side of the universe playing golf with Peter when I'm going through my struggle here. Where are you, God? It's in the valleys where we struggle. But this is one thing you need to know about the valley experience and how God uses these times. Number one, every valley experience, every trial, every test has an expiration date. Just like that milk in your refrigerator, it's got a date stamped on it. When that date comes to completion, it's finished. Throw it out. It's done. And I want you to know, if you're in a struggle right now, I want you to know that it's got an expiration date on it. Breakthrough's coming. It could happen now, it could happen tomorrow, whatever. Breakthrough's coming. And God does some of His greatest works when we're walking through a valley. Amen. God will allow us to have moments that cause us to become desperate for Him. Because we're human and we digress and we get comfortable and we start trusting the arm of the flesh and we think we've got it all together, but God lets us know we're not all that in a bag of chips. That we need Him. And God will use desperation to bring about a breaking in our lives. I was in a very difficult financial situation one time. And we had to totally trust God for weekly miracles. And God was faithful. And He met our need miraculously every single week a different way. And it was just enough, Pastor, to get through the week. And we had to trust Him the next week. Okay? So finally, I just wanted to thank God. And I prayed this real fancy prayer. It's almost like King James Version, you know. Oh, thou art the greatest of all gods, you know. I mean, you get your preacher voice on, you know. And I want to thank you for all that you've done and how you've provided. And then I went on to pray this pious prayer. But could you do us a favor? Could you give us a little extra this week? Because I'm getting weary of having to trust you. When that rolled off my lips, I'm getting weary of having to trust you. It's like the finger of God hit me in the chest saying, that's what I've been after all along. You don't want to trust me. You want everything up front. You want to understand everything in advance. You don't want to trust me. And just like the scripture, I felt the dross coming to the top of God's refining. And I said, oh God, what an evil thing for me to say. That was deep inside of me and I didn't really realize. See, the test and the shadows and the trials and the valleys sometimes bring things to the surface to be dealt with. So we become more like Christ. And let me tell you, God will use desperation to bring us to a place of brokenness to where we lift up our hands and say, okay, God, I give up. What do you want? I'm your man. You have it your way. I'm not in control anymore. I want to flow with you. I want the life you want me to have. And then He says, okay, now
I can show you what I've always wanted to show you. I couldn't show you back here. You're so full of yourself. You might have rejected what I wanted to say. Then you'd be responsible for that. But in the brokenness, we come to places of surrender. And God says, now I can show you. And I can use you. I couldn't use you in this way back here. But now, I'm going to take you to a whole new level. You've got to understand the difficulties of life. And what I want to share with you, God is not afraid of the chaos that you're in. And what is troubling you and what's making you anxious and what's making you afraid, it doesn't trouble God. He's beyond all that. See, David was a man who knew how to slay a giant and walk through a valley. And I love the verbiage he uses, yea, though I walk through. And here's the thing, it's got an expiration date. And listen, you're not supposed to buy land and set up shop in the valley because you're going through. And he says, because you're with me, I won't be afraid. Because David knew who his God was, he could face a giant. Because he knew who his God was, he could walk through the valley. Because the same God that had him by the hand on the mountaintop is the same God that has him by the hand walking through the valley. And let me tell you, your greatest valley will become your greatest testimony. The only reason you have a testimony is you can say, I was this and I was that and I was desperate, but my God showed up and made a way. The reason you got a testimony is you walk through something. Amen. And it becomes a testimony. Amen. And I want to encourage you today that some of you may be walking through something today and you might feel discouraged. You might feel a little disillusioned. You might wonder, God, do you see me? Do you hear me? Do you care? Where are you? I don't know. And you might be saying, like, it's not supposed to happen this way. Life's supposed to be bliss. But I want you to know, it's in the valley God makes his champions. Our generation needs people that are champions for their God. People with a backbone. People willing to face the giants. People willing to speak and not be quiet. Unashamed of their God. And you know where he makes his champions? In the fire. It's not on the mountaintop. It's not in the moment of revival. We're just singing the praises of God. Thank God for those moments. We're drawing near to God on the mountaintops, but I want you to know it's in the valley God comes to us. When we feel weak, when we feel ashamed, when we feel overwhelmed, He comes to us and He has us by the hand. I've known this. It's God's making champions out of us. And because this flesh has to be refined to come into the order of heaven and no longer living according to the pattern of this world, it takes refining. And you might feel like you're a piece of steel getting hammered out on an anvil, thinking, God, I can't take this much more. And he's like saying, I'm almost done. And you become a sword in his hand that displaces darkness, that speaks to mountains, that casts out demons and lays hands on the sick and they recover. Amen. A harvest laborer with Jesus Christ. A weapon, an instrument in the hand of God is made in the fire. David had this experience when he and his warriors, I just want to read this real quick. His warriors came back to Ziklag. And it says, now it happened, this isn't on the screen, I'm sorry, but I'm going to just read it. When David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites attacked it and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there. Okay. And to make a long story short, David and his men lifted up their voices and wept till they had no more strength to cry. You ever been there before? That midnight hour when you're crying yourself to sleep at night because you don't know what to do. And these mighty men that were with David, they wanted to kill him because they said it's your fault. So not only is his town burned, his family taken away, they don't know where they are, his men that he fights with wanted to kill him. But David knew what to do in that moment. He knew what to do on his worst day. He knew what to do on a bad day. The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. He was a man who knew how to walk in triumph
And he knew how to raise his hands on the battlefield when everything was turned against him. Sometimes you got to praise God when everything's against you. Sometimes you got to praise God when you're standing alone. Sometimes you got to praise God when people misunderstand you and they don't know what you're going through. You raise your hands and say, "You are my God and you are my King and you are sovereignly watching over me and you're going to bring me through this." David knew how what to do. This is the kind of man I want to listen to. I don't need no lecture and no sweet things when I'm going through a struggle and a trial. I need advice from a man who knows how to face a giant and walk through a valley. I need advice from someone who knows how to stand firm against the winds that are blowing against him and declare, "The Lord will see to my victory." Amen. I want to hear from a man who knows when he's been blindsided how to get the breakthrough. I don't need no light and fluffy and puffy stuff. Sweetness. I need to know how to make it through. Satan plots against us, but God's got a plan for us. And I want to overcome the plots and flow in the plan. This is what it said. So David inquired of the Lord. So David recovered all. Say, recovered all. And it goes down to say in verse 20, this was David's spoil. Not only did he recover all, did not lose one family member, but he took the spoil from the enemy. Could we not say today, "God, when you bring me through this victory, I want the spoil from the enemy. I want to get back with interest and overflow what he has stolen from me in this time. When you bring me into victory, I want you to bring me into such overflow, and the enemy's got to pay for what he's tried to do to me as a son of God." Amen. David knew how to face giants. He knew how to go through valleys, and he knew how to experience the overflow. I want to hear from him. When I'm going through a struggle, I want advice from a man who can raise his hands on the battlefield. Amen. He has a secret for us. And I'm going to read it to you right now. Psalm chapter 5. "My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you. And I will look up." This is advice from a man who knows how to slay giants and get through valleys. This is a man who knows how to plunder the enemy that's come against him and get a spoil of overflow. This is his secret. This is how he could do it. He said, first of all, first thing, "My voice you will hear." I'm not waiting for anybody else to pray. I'm not waiting for everybody else to show up to church. I'm there. "In the morning I will lift up. You will hear my voice. My voice you will hear. And it's directed like an arrow. I'm aiming it at you." I was in Nara, Japan one time, and a pastor there took us to the largest wooden structure of Buddha in the world. 8 stories tall, solid wooden structure of Buddha. And right there, in horror, we watched as school children by the thousands were led and taught and indoctrinated to come before this Buddha to clap their hands to get his attention and throw money into a large wooden bin at his fat belly. And as we watched thousands of kids come by, clapping their hands, orderly in Japan, and throwing money into the bin, you know what Buddha did? Nothing. He sat there like a dumb piece of wood. No mighty hand to deliver. No eyes to see. No mouth to speak. Amen? Sat there dumb. But I want you to know, David knew that his God is the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Most High God, the God of eternity. Amen. He says, "Unto you I will lift my voice. You will hear my voice in the morning, and I'm going to look up." That's with expectation to receive. There's many times people pray in the altar, but they really don't expect God to do something. They walk back to the seat, wringing their hands, wondering, "What am I going to do?" Well, you just gave it to the Lord in the altar. Sometimes we doubt, but we don't know we're doubting. But David expected God to do something. "I will look up." Notice his intention.
The thing is, it's important. Because where we look, where we set our gaze, determines the direction we go. Amen. You can look up today or you can look down. David said, I'm going to look up. That's why he knew how to get from blindsided to breakthrough. I'm going to look up. Well, what do you see when you look down? You see your limitations. You see what you can't do. You see what you don't have. You see all your miserable mistakes, your wrong choices. You see a limited world around you, and it sucks the hope out of you. And Satan will have you look down at your problem, at your lack, at your regrets every day till you begin to bow at it and make it your God. He will remind you, he will wake you up with a grip of fear around your throat, choking the life out of you, saying, you're finished, you're done, you're not going to make it, it's over. That's what you see when you look down. But what do you see when you look up? I see a king watching over me. I see a savior hanging on a cross for me. I see an eternal throne of power and authority and majesty. I see a mighty God in whom the enemies have no fight against him. An eternal God that loved me and gave himself for me. When I look up, I see the glorious savior of the world. And today you can look up like David or you can look down. And I know when I'm looking the wrong direction, because that's when I become afraid. That's when I become anxious. I know I'm not looking up when I'm afraid. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. David knew how to keep his eyes on the Lord in times of trouble, in times of battle, in times of discouragement, in times of loss. He knew how to look up. But many of us were looking down to where we're magnifying our problem and hopelessness sets in. Because you know you don't got the power. You don't have the power to do anything about it. You don't know the right people. You don't have enough finances. You don't have the power to change it. And hopelessness sets in. So that is Satan's plot against you to get you to look down. But oh, if you would dare be like David, I'm going to look up. I see your goodness. I see your mercy. I see who you are. I see your faithfulness. I see your ability with you. Everything and anything can happen. Look up to overcome fear. Look up to focus on Jesus. Look up for strength and hope today. Look up to worship and to serve God. Instead of allowing circumstances of life to dictate our emotions. Are you more troubled by your problem than you are moved by the promises of God? If you're feeling overwhelmed today, it's because you're looking the wrong direction. If you're afraid today, it's because you're looking in the wrong direction. I'm talking to myself. If you're anxious today, it's because you're looking. But if you could look up to the source of life, the one who put the lights in the heavens, the stars came forth by the breath of his mouth, and he sustains the universe. And he knows my name. He knows my name. You see, 10% of life, and I'm finishing here, is what happens to you. 10% of life. 90% of life is you responding to the 10% of what's happened to you. We spend most of our time responding to what's happened. David had a secret. He knew how to respond. Amen. And I will look up. Everybody say, look up. I look up to the hills from which comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven. You're not hopeless today. You're not alone today. You're not invisible to God. He's not far from you. He's near today. And if you need a breakthrough, if you've had a time where you've been blindsided and Satan's knocked the wind out of you, and you're going through a dark valley full of shadows, I want you to know if you look up, you're going to make it through. Because the one who leads you to mountaintops will lead you through the valley. And you're going to be more Christ-like when you come through. But if you need a touch from God today, you need a breakthrough in your situation, I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. And this is just how we're going to finish today. It's a simple message. It's not very deep theologically. But if we could get the revelation of what it means to look up. It looks like this is the right message for today. Jesus knows you're going through things. Pastor Dwayne, come here. And I want you to invite you right now. It's just to lift up your eyes. Don't look at me. Look up toward heaven. And lift up your hands and say, God, I'm choosing to look upon you because you're my way maker. You're my redeemer. You're the one who created me in my mother's womb. Lord, you're with me and you won't fail me. You won't abandon me. Your promises are true. And Lord, right now we pray for the release of bondages. Right now we break chains of bondages and of fear and anxiety and addictions and even that of sin. And Lord, the things that are overwhelming us, we give to you, O King of glory. Because it's impossible with me. But Lord, I know it's possible for you. Lord, we're asking in the name of Jesus for breakthroughs. We're asking for strength and encouragement and refreshing today. Hallelujah. You continue to pray.
Thank you, Father. Finish it out. Thank you, Father. God, I thank you for this word. I thank you for planting it in our hearts, Lord. You see every heart. You see every person. Lord, you see them standing before you today saying, Lord, I need you and I'm looking up, Father. I thank you, God, Lord, that you are moving even now in the midst of your people here today. I thank you, Father, for your word that goes forth and it brings life. And I thank you, Father, that we can receive that word today, Lord. And so we declare, we receive it, Father God. We set our sights on you. We look up to you, O God. And we thank you, Father, that that enemy that was chasing us, that was trying to chase us and destroy us, I thank you that today you're bringing it to an end, O God. And Lord, we thank you for life pouring out on your people, in your people, through your people, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that not one hurt will be wasted. Not one attack will be wasted. Not one valley experience will be wasted. But Father, I thank you that you will be glorified as we go through it because you are faithful, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you'll take the very things that the enemy meant to take us out. And Lord, you will use those things in our hands as your body, the body of Christ, to bring misery to the enemy and the kingdom of darkness. I thank you, Father, that you are exposing the enemy for who it is, who he is. And I thank you, Father God, that you are bringing us into that place of victory. Lord, we stand in agreement. We're so thankful, Lord, for sending Doug and Angie to us today. We're so thankful for the message that you have brought through them. We're so thankful for the testimonies that you've brought through them. We're so thankful for the lives that have been saved, Lord, that the Lord, eternal destinies turned around, Lord, because you have used us in some just very simple ways, God. Lord, all you're asking us to do is be faithful. All you're asking us to do is say yes. Today, Father, we say yes to you. We say yes. And Lord, we thank you for using us for your glory. We live to declare your glory. We live to show forth your glory. And we thank you for it. Now, Lord, use these people this week. Use them to manifest your glory in this earth, Father. On the jobs, Lord, in the grocery stores, in their homes, wherever they may be, Father God, be glorified through their lives. I thank you for doing signs, wonders, and miracles through them. I thank you for healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, healing incurable diseases, bringing the words of life that set people free through their lips. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. Now, Father, we also ask your blessings over Doug and Angie. I thank you, Father, for just providing everything that they need in a supernatural way that cannot be explained. I thank you, Father, that you have already sent them out and continue to send them out, Father. I thank you for the vision you've poured into them. Father, I thank you that you always have provision for the vision. Now, Lord, I thank you for providing for them everything they need. I thank you for safety over their lives. I thank you, Lord, make them invisible to the enemy that they might continue to do your work wherever you call them in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. If you're in agreement, why don't you shout amen?